While the sun beat down with an intense dry heat and the fervor of the crowd that watched from around the chain link fencing reached a fever pitch, Jack felt an icy calm inside. He watched the hypnotism of his friends, now turned against him. He'd watched the faces of the barons and traitors on the stand, eyeing him as if he were an animal ready for slaughter, which he was, as far as they were concerned. Jack had other ideas. There were a few things he knew that his pursuing companions, now his enemies, wouldn't know. Things that Ethan and his paying guests wouldn't know that he knew. Things that could be turned to his advantage. He remained impassive when Ethan left the other three tied to their stakes and signaled that the Set Guard released Jack. Flanked by the blonde Set man Ryan had hit and the bald man he considered a friend, and whose stone-set visage couldn't hide the anger and sorrow in his eyes, Greyhor stepped forward to free Jack. While the dreadlocked Sec chief loosened his bonds, Jack caught the eye of the bald man. For a fraction of a second, they exchanged a glance that communicated Jack's acknowledgement that Stark wasn't to blame for what had occurred. The albino stepped away from the stake, massaging his wrists, the white skin purpled by the tightness of the bonds. Some feeling began to return, and as he rubbed, Jack took a look at the other companions, and then at the scum who had paid for this spectacle. The companions were looking at him with undisguised hate. So be it. The barons and traders who had paid for this entertainment were eyeing Jack with curiosity. They seemed to find it hard to believe that a man so slight should be a match for the other three. At another signal from Ethan, Greyhorse and the blonde Set Guard stepped forward. Jack noticed that Stark hung back.
Come on, Whitey. Time for you to start running.
He reached to grab Jack's arm.
Don't touch.
Heh! The blonde made a grab for Jack's arm anyway. A strangely comical, eyes-wide expression came over his face as he realized that Jack had evaded him without actually seeming to move. Jack shimmied out of the grab, pivoted, and brought up his heavy combat boots so that the toe and outside edge of his foot connected with the blonde's jawbone. It was the second time in less than an hour that he had been hit in the face, and he lost more teeth as Jack's expert kick crashed his jaws together, grinding tooth against tooth, reducing the inside of his mouth to even more of a bloody pulp than it had been previously. The force of the kick knocked him to one side and lifted him almost off his feet, so that he seemed to be balancing on his toes before falling to the dirt floor of the training ground, raising a cloud of dust. Greyhorse reached for the Glock that he had holstered at the hip, but was stayed by the hand of the bald Set Guard.
Baron wouldn't want you to chill the little guy and fuck up the hunt, boss. It's Riley's own fault for being so stoop.
The dreadlocked Sec chief looked around at his man, brown eyes blazing with anger. Then he looked at Jack, who was standing impassively, waiting, and at Ethan, who was eyeing him with interest.
Yeah, I guess so. But I don't like my men made to look stoop.
Then they shouldn't act like it.
Greyhorse's eyes met with Jack's. The albino was bland, unreadable.
Okay, Whitey. I guess you get away with that one for obvious reasons. But don't fuck with me on the way out to the hunt, or I might be tempted to forget myself.
Jack waited until the Sec chief had signaled for two more of his men to drag away the unconscious blonde, and then started to walk toward a horse that had been saddled for him.
We're going to take you out to where the hunt begins and then give you a half-hour head start before we let the other fuckers go. The paying guests will be with us, and Ethan will follow with the Sec that accompanies your friends.
Jack wasn't listening. His attention was turned to the barons and traders who were on the stand, readying themselves to join him. His acute hearing was able to pick out at least some of what the two closest to him were saying to each other. A baron who looked like he was inbred waved dismissively.
Boy's got no chance.
One of the traders countered this with a wise shake of the head.
Well, I'm not so sure. Look at all those scars.
Meaning?
Meaning that you don't get that scarred if you lose fights. You just get chilled.
Rowan, I'll bet you that no matter how many scars a little runt has, he won't be able to get past those ex-friends of his. They want him chilled, and they know him. He might be tough, but he's outnumbered.
I'll take you on that, Cletus. He's a tough little muty. Seen him down in the south. You can fill the shitters full of ammo, and they'll still come running after your hide.
You, sir, are on. What do you want to wager?
The inbred baron and his trader friend began to leave the stand to take their mounts and follow Jack and the Set Guard so that they would be in position for the beginning of the hunt. Jack's horse took him out of earshot. Gray Horse and a now-conscious Riley rode in line, keeping Jack in the middle. They rode at a steady pace and in silence, a silence that Jack felt no need to breach. He knew that the blonde sec man was looking forward to seeing the companions rip one another apart, but he still wasn't sure about Gray Horse. The lean, dreadlocked sec chief had seemed a decent man, a man of at least some principle. It was probable that there were things about this hunt that stuck in his craw, but his first duty was to his baron. But if Jack chilled the cold-hearted bastard Ethan, what then? As they approached the edge of the vill, the crowds grew sparse. The majority of the population had gathered in the area between the hospital and the chain-linked compound to view the companions as they were prepared for the hunt. Out here, there were only a few people, going about their everyday business. They didn't even stop from their tasks to watch the sec guard and Jack ride by. As the crowd noise grew more and more distant, the albino hunter could hear the horses carrying Ethan, the barons, and the traders, and their own personal guard. They passed beyond the walled limits of Pleasantville and out through the small holdings and sparse farmland that surrounded the vill, forming the flatlands that stood between the forest and what passed for civilization. They passed the tracks made by the wild sticky pack less than 2 weeks ago, and Jack wondered in passing what Ethan had done to the caged creatures to make them act in a way that was so contrary to usual sticky behavior. They traversed the flatland easily, and within an hour they were into the forest. At what seemed like an arbitrary point, about 100 yards into the woods, Greyhorse stopped Jack and Riley.
Wait here for the Baron and his customers. Your audience, that is. Remember, you all have your weapons, but don't get any smart ideas about trying to chill them. You've got your ex-friends on your ass, and the four-eyed guy and Mildred waiting on you back in the vill. If you ruin the entertainment, the Baron will chill them all.
Ethan and the hunt audience rode up.
You ready, boy?
Have to be.
Insolent little fuck, isn't he, Ethan?
Ethan smiled. He gestured to the sec men.
As long as you remember what Gray Horse was supposed to tell you.
Riley dismounted and pulled Jack off his horse. He was hoping to catch the albino off guard and to make him fall, but Jack was never off guard. He slid easily off the horse, his elbow shooting out and catching the sec man on the way. For the third time that afternoon, Riley hit the ground with his face damaged.
Ah, you dumb fuck, Riley. You never learn, do you?
Jack ignored the glare that the blonde sec man gave him from the ground, fixing his attention on Ethan.
You've got a half-hour start, so I'd run if I was you.
Jack shot him a look of pure venom and turned, disappearing into the woods.
Now, gentlemen, I suggest we proceed to the best vantage point. Gray Horse will lead the way.
Ethan gestured to the sec chief.
This should be quite an interesting day's sport.
J.B. Dix was laid out on a stretcher. It had a folding wheel attachment that was made of light aluminum and fiberglass, as was the frame. It had obviously been salvaged from the same place the Pleasantville scavengers had found the cultures that were causing J.B.'s affliction, and Mildred was thankful that Bones had taught his search squads well. The wheels could come in useful and give them a greater speed and mobility than if they had to carry him. For that was their plan. It was more than an even bet that Ethan would want to chill J.B., and he wouldn't wait for the meningitis to do the trick and risk spreading contagion. This didn't likely give Michaela time to get to the ruins, find what she wanted, and get back. It didn't give J.B. enough time to recover sufficiently to defend himself, even if she did. But if they were correct, it did give Mildred and Michaela enough uninterrupted time to get a head start on a mercy run to the ruins. The two women were busy packing what little supplies they had for the run, while the armorer slept fitfully. Mildred checked her ZKR and turned to Michaela.
Checked her weapons?
I don't have a blaster. I hate those things.
Nice thought, but not practical, especially now. You do know how to use one, don't you?
Guess so. Just point and pull the trigger, right?
Mildred sighed and took JB's Uzi from where it was stowed on the stretcher with his other belongings. She tossed it at the spiky-haired girl, who caught it awkwardly.
Ever used one of these before?
Michaela shook her head. Mildred moved over to her and showed her how to load, reload, set to single or continuous shot, and sight on the SMG.
This completes your crash course in weapons know-how. Okay, we set?
Michaela nodded, trying to stop herself from trembling with fear. Mildred went to the front of the hospital and wrecked the street outside. A single sec guard lounged against the stoop on the building's veranda. He looked bored and inattentive. Perfect. Mildred found it astoundingly slack that Ethan would leave her with all her inventory and JB's to boot, and with such meager sec to guard them. But then again, he wasn't used to people going against him, and he had wanted to bluff the companions into taking him at his word. Mildred moved from room to room, checking at every window for any signs of a guard. Unbelievably, there were none. Not even at the rear of the building, which would be an obvious means of escape. It crossed her mind that this was a little too easy. Could it be that Ethan wanted her to make a break, so that he could legitimately chill her? But to what end? As Baron, he could do what he liked, so why make an elaborate ruse of everything? No, Mildred put it down to his own arrogance and nothing more. He hadn't expected her to attempt any kind of an escape, but to wait for JB's supposed regular booster. Mildred returned to where Michaela was waiting by the stretcher.
There's only the one lazy guard out front. We'll take John out the back. I'll make a quick area rec, then we'll move out, okay?
It was more of an order than a question, but Michaela nodded, and they wheeled the armorer to the rear of the building.
Time to reload. Deathlands is continued on the next CD.
You're listening to Death Hunt from the Deathlands series, produced in graphic audio. A movie in your mind. If you want a Deathlands title and can't find it, call us toll-free at 1-800-670-5220. We have all the graphic audio versions of Deathlands, all unabridged for hours and hours of the most daring and exciting listening. And not only Deathlands, there's more. There's the Deathlands sequel, Outlanders, and the great action-adventure series, The Executioner, the Stony Man series, the Destroyer series, the Mac Bolan series, and our newest, the ever-popular science fiction series, Deathstalker, all in the daring graphic audio you're listening to now. Watch a movie in your mind. Call 1-800-670-5220. Our number is also conveniently printed on the cover of all of our audio thrillers. Due to intense violence and sexual situations, graphic audio is rated for mature audiences.